Thank you for listening to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please support the show by subscribing to and leaving a 5-star rating for the show on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Podbean, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, and any of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also support the show by going to our website, blackandgoldhockey.com, where there's always exciting articles by the BNG writing staff. While you're there, don't forget to click on the fanatics.com banner for a great sports fan shopping experience.
Are you done yet? We gotta start the show.
Bobby Orr, behind the net, the center, and Orr! Bobby Orr! Scores from the Boston Bruins!
30 seconds left in the period. The Bruins are shorthanded. Ray Bourque.
From the face-off circle to the right of Reggie Whitman, flying it down, and Whitmore blew it.
Did he ever?
Marshall to Bergeron on the drive, save, rebound is loose. Seven kicks him loose. Bergeron scores.
What is up, Bruins fans? Welcome back to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. This is a bonus edition. We're doing the 2021 post-NHL trade deadline talk just for the Bruins. No time to go through the whole league and that madness that happened. So I do have some great guests on today. But before we bring in those guests, I do want to talk about our Patreon account that we have. And if you donate $1 per episode, let me put that information up here. You can be involved in some great Bruins giveaways that we do every week, which is, it's a signed, I don't have it available, like a signed Andy Moog picture or another, a Johnny Busick signed picture or those things we give away weekly. But we also give away hand-signed jerseys. Charlie Coyle, this guy went to the Bruins Luchador. So congratulations, Luch, on winning this. And he won that for just $1. So if you donate $1 at the information below, you can get involved in some fantastic giveaways. It really helps us fall sports media company. And, we love taking money in, paying the bills, but also taking half of that and, rolling it over to buy more gifts to give away. So with that being said, I want to welcome everybody to the program. Thank you for tuning in. I certainly appreciate it. But a great deal of gratitude is to the three gentlemen that are with me today. Right over here is Rafi, and he's from Calgary. So we got a nice Canadian guy joining us. Right down here is another Canadian guy. That's Mike Dalby. Welcome, Mike. And over here to the bottom, right, I believe on right left, yeah, is my boy Andrew Taverna, and he is our tech guy and a writer and podcaster at the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast.com, Black and Gold Hockey website, whatever. Andrew, what's up, man?
Not too much, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to talking about some trades.
Yeah. Thank you all for coming in, by the way. I really appreciate the time. And this is going to be a fun little discussion. There's like no agenda at all. We're just off the cuff, just trying to get some content together. But let's hit it. Where do we want to go first? You want to go for the biggest trade, the ones that made the biggest news, or go for the smaller one and work our way back?
I mean, my vote is to go with the what's that?
I say big one.
Yeah, my vote's to go with the big one.
Let's do it. Last night, the Boston Bruins pulled off, well, basically everybody was asleep. And anybody that had the insiders were floating the rumors around, but the Boston Bruins made a trade. Don Sweeney has a pulse, folks. Can you believe it? He has a pulse. He traded Anders Bjork, a 2021 second-round pick, and I believe a 2022 second-round pick. That could be conditional, I'm not sure, for Taylor Hall and Curtis Lazar of the Buffalo Sabres. Thoughts on this trade, because this one could talk about for a while. Let's go around the clock. Let's go to Raffy first, then we'll go to Andrew, and then we'll go to Mike, and then we'll just go around like that.
Yeah, my initial thought, I saw it last night. I was just getting ready for bed, and I looked, and then I obviously didn't sleep much after that because I kept having to refresh to see if it went through, if it was legit. I was shocked that that's all they gave up for it. I had a feeling Bjork was going to be moved. I mean, it didn't make sense that he was scratched, what, 5 games in a row? I mean, he hadn't been great leading up to it, but I don't think he had done anything to warrant, you know, 5 games straight with nothing. So I kind of had a feeling he'd be moving. But for him in a second to get not only Taylor Hall with only half the salary, I think Curtis Lazar has the potential to be a sneaky good pickup for the bottom six. And I really, especially seeing some of the other trades today, I feel like Sweeney fleeced the Sabres on this one.
Nice. Andrew, what's up?
Yeah, I mean, so I guess I can see the comment here. Why do I hate Taylor Hall 71? First off, because he picked the number 71. I think my biggest issue with Hall, and I was very vocal about it, obviously, on Twitter for our friends here. My biggest issue with Hall is commitment to actually winning. Talks a big game about winning, but then he goes and signs with Buffalo. Listen, the money was there. He thought he could put up points with Eichel. Didn't work out. Good for him for waiving his, you know, his no movement clause there, because he needed to get somewhere other than Buffalo if he wants to stand any shot at increasing his value next year. As Rafi said, I think it's a steal, to be honest. Buffalo kind of gave away everything that was there between last night and today. So I'm not sure what management's doing up there. I'm sure they're trying to salvage something out of this season, but all in all, I'm happy because of the price. I'm still not sold on the player, but I can certainly be convinced otherwise if he starts to score goals and puts up points. So,
Mike Dalby, what's up, my friend?
How's it going, man?
What are your thoughts on this big deal here?
Reiterating what these two guys just said, huge win for the Bruins. Like, nothing bad at all. I see zero negative. Bjork is a bottom six, like, fringe player. The 2 second picks, who knows what could happen. I was a big do not move the first round pick going into this trade deadline, so they didn't do that. All the prospects are still there that I wanted to see stay there, so none of them are gone. The roster is virtually unaffected. Plenty of guys that can fill in where Bjork has played. And then, it's Taylor Hall. The guy's a beast. I don't care where he's played or what people's opinions of him are. The teams he's been on, I have no idea how he lands there. But they're bottom of the barrel teams. He's never been surrounded by the talent that's here. Just the culture, the winning culture, he's never had that. The leadership, he's never had that. I'm interested to see what happens, because if he can take off like he did with his MVP season, this could be lethal.
Yeah, I could agree with that, but I'm looking at it from a couple angles too. I'm not taking everybody's opinion all in once, but I like the trade. Okay, but I like the trade even more if Don Sweeney can get him locked down for future services. I'm not saying that this move, the acquisition of Lazar or this guy Mike Riley, are the moves that are pointing the needle towards a Stanley Cup this year. But
careful, Mike, you're going to piss off some fans.
I don't care. I mean, honest to God, Andrew, honest to God, if you look at the team that started this season, they were a wagon. And then injuries happened. It's just one of those shit show seasons, to be honest with you. It's freaking COVID times. Everybody just seems uncomfortable. The Bruins are like an escalator. You're either up or down. We don't know what's actually going on with this team. So it's hard for me to really say, yes, this is a cup contender. I'm not going to be that fanboy that says that all the time. I'm going to be more the realistic guy that just says, it doesn't look like we have it this year, but an addition like this with Taylor Hall and the other two complementary pieces in these deals, if you can get Hall locked in after this season, I like what happens next year even more than this year. For the fact is that we're going to have almost $30 million in cap space, and you could build around the Bergeron, the Hall, and whatever complimentary piece you get. And I don't even think all this shit's over with. The trade deadline might be over with today and this year for this Boston Bruins team, but they could still be involved in trades at the draft. And then hammer the free agent market with the available funds that you have. Obviously, you still have to lock in McAvoy and Carlo and all those pieces that are currently on this team. But this is it. I'm giving next year hot seat Donnie and hot seat Cam. If you guys can't figure it out, get in the playoffs this year and just maybe a first round bounce. Who knows? But if you don't do anything next year, then that I want out of the Sweeney and Cam Neely era, and I don't want to bring in any former Bruins that to do any of the managerial stuff. I want a fresh perspective. I want to build.
I think two things to that. One, my perspective on him re-signing Hall. If there's a GM that can do it at a reasonable cost, Sweeney seems to be the guy. The guys he's gotten to buy into the system, to sign extensions, to stay with the team for less money than you think they would. That seems to be, up until today maybe or last night, what I would have perceived as actually his only skill set. So that's one area where if they feel he's a fit and they actually think they can do something with him, I do think that this is an organization that can get him to stay. That said, I think he does have to produce something, right? I mean, I know we see a lot of these low risk, high reward situations. This is high risk for Hall himself, right? Because this is going to dictate what kind of contract he gets next. And the Bruins aren't going to give him 6 years at $8 million. So like, if that's what he's looking for next, he's not going to get it here.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Absolutely. I like a lot of what I'm hearing from Hall and also from, I can't remember the names, just passing on Twitter. I've seen a couple insiders say that, the GM in Buffalo was pretty well handcuffed by Hall. He didn't want to waive to go anywhere. He wanted to be in Boston. You know, him saying that he was close to coming to Boston last offseason. Obviously, yeah, went for the money. But, you know, can't fault the guy for that. I think he does have a lot to prove, and I don't know. I think Sweeney can get him at a lower number than eight for sure, and it'd be really nice if he can get him on a shorter term and see what he can do for a couple seasons here.
Five and a half for 2 or 3 years.
Whoa, that'd be awesome.
That's what I'm hoping for, and that's the type of deal he's gotten guys to sign, right? Those 2 or 3 year deals at reasonable money. If he can do that, then I'm all in. If he goes out and spends even seven, right? Like I'm not there for it right now. Even if he comes in and scores 15 goals, right? Like the guys had been to enough teams. I don't know if you guys have seen that little Grim Reaper with all the doors, the teams he's been on, right? Like that. The guy's been enough places that I feel like this is a great, great opportunity. And I see a comment about Krejci here, so I do want to touch on that. This is a great opportunity for him. In terms of Krejci, regardless of what you do with Hall, please, please do not overvalue 46 in this offseason. He's been a great Bruin. He's been dedicated to this team. You've overpaid him for a long time. So unless he's coming in and taking a super team-friendly deal for 1 year, let him either retire or go play at home. Like, one of those two things. But let's not overvalue 46 because Hall comes in and does something amazing if he does.
I will say that if anybody's going to be, like you said, that Sweeney could talk down a player like Taylor Hall, he's going to have to do that to his current players right now. Because I can't see Krejci getting big numbers to stick around and make this cap work while you're trying to gain assets off of either trades or off-season signings. You know, I mean, if you get Rask back, he's not going to be $7 million. I would offer him $4 million for 2 more years. Halak, if he comes back, give him the same 2.25. You know, keep yourself at 6 million instead of 9. You free up a little bit of space there. Excuse me.
Taking a sip out of that big water mug right there.
Yeah, man, I was freaking choking. But yeah, I just you got to make it work with the team that you have, and if you want to bring these guys back, and I'm fully on board with being patient with these goaltenders. I am not one of the shiny new toy guys that say screw Rask and screw freaking, you know, Halak, and we're going with the kids. That's you watch Philadelphia Flyer games.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm distracted by the fact that Nick is here.
Nick Boos is in the house. What up?
He is. He's telling me that Sweeney's got big old nuts. And based on what I saw him say on Twitter this morning, I actually want to know whether he literally knows that or if that's figurative. But anyways, I think the point for me is that you finally potentially created a second line. Right, you finally made it so that your top line doesn't have to be the only productive line on your team. Is this enough to at least start to solve secondary scoring? And then I don't think you did enough to shore up the D to make a long cup run. Right, I don't want to hear about Rask because Rask has been an elite goaltender for a long time. Right, like there, we'll hear things about it anyways, even though I say I don't want to, so that's fine. But you know, your defense is still kind of your weak spot. And don't get me wrong, I know we'll get to him, but Riley's a sneaky good pickup, I think. I think he'll be a great addition to the back end there, but I still don't know that you did enough to make it so you're in contention for a long haul here. Maybe you made it to the second round instead of dropping out in the first, or potentially with injuries just completely flailing and falling out before the playoffs, which I would hope wouldn't happen. But
Mike, what do you think, Dalby?
I do think that with a healthy team here, keyword, you get everybody back from injuries. I think this top nine, I think the, like your fourth line's a revolving door. You can toss anybody in there at this rate. They've got so many guys that can fill those bottom positions. I don't know, for like discussion topic, I avoid it. Throw Frederick, Kirilly, Wagner, Kuhlman, Lazar on that fourth line, whatever. It's going to work and it is what it is. But that top nine, healthy, everybody playing good, is up there with the best in the league. I think the one thing they've been lacking, as everybody knows for years, is that secondary scoring. Hall does that. He makes their power play deadly. Like that has potential to be probably the best in the league, if not top three easily.
Who loses their spot on that power play?
That's going to be huge come playoffs. Like your special teams is going to be massive. The question I wonder, somebody has to play an off wing. I don't think DeBrusque moving to the right side is smart at all. And I don't think giving DeBrusque less minutes is smart either. But you're not going to play him over Hall and Marchand. I just don't see that. So, I mean, he's going to be a lock on the third line. So does that push Richie down to fourth line left wing? I think so. And DeBrusque, third line left wing. So probably looking at, like, I don't know, DeBrusque, Coyle, and whoever, right wing on three. And then probably Richie, Kirilly, give Lazar a shot. Not a bad idea. Regarding the signing, the off season too, I think that's the biggest thing with this trade if they move all that and get Hall, nothing happens in the playoffs, or not like with the core that they've kept in place and haven't moved anybody out. If a cup doesn't happen, you've got to sign Hall, or what was any of it for? Then it's all a waste and a wash. And then the Seattle draft, I mean, that's a whole other, I don't even know. You're going to have to make, you're going to have to make a side deal. You're going to have to make some deal with Seattle to hold on to some of these guys, or waiting till after that to put pen to paper. But my hope is, when it comes to the expansion draft, I think Lozon is probably gone if they're going to look for a defenseman. Or you leave like Richie exposed, because I think he's overperforming on just the minutes he's had with the guys that he's played with. But, and he's, in my opinion, there's enough players that can fill in there. But I think the Seattle draft in the offseason is going to be where this pays off or proves to be just a massive waste. Because if you did all this for Hall, nothing happens in the playoff, no real legit cup run, and then Hall leaves, what was it all for? Yeah. Especially with these guys that are Krejci, UFA, Rask, Halak, like the core is getting older. Everybody knows that. And the door is closing. I think signing Hall right now, you've left that door open a little bit more than before. But if he leaves, then what? Back to square one. And it was all for nothing.
Yep. I totally agree with that. And I know I talked about it before we went live, but Joe Haggerty sent out a tweet not too long ago from the Don Sweeney press conference after today's festivities, and says Don Sweeney on potentially signing Taylor Hall beyond this season. And this is, like I said, it is a little concerning to me because I really wanted him to come here and then sign immediately. I didn't want this to be a rental type situation. And it comes down to success and fitting in. I think the proof will be in the results. So he's basically saying, if you want to be here, you want to be a Boston Bruin for further than this season, show us. What if the Boston Bruins they get bounced in that first round? And is he the type of player that goes, geez, I don't know about this place, you know? Even if he signs, Don Sweeney's going to knock take me down, you know, a bunch of notches. I'm not sure if I want to be here. What he could be a flight risk too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe Hall, right? Like that was part of what I had been saying online that I think got me so much heat. Like you can't come out and say I want to be a winner. I'm willing to do anything to win. Sign in Buffalo, then say I only wanted to go to Boston. My guess, honestly, is less so about seeing him perform. He probably came in and said to sign an immediate extension, I want $7 million a year for 4 years. And Sweeney went, why don't we wait and see what happens here? Right? Like, I'm not willing to pay you right now for two goals and what is it, 17 assists or 19 assists, whatever it is. Like, yeah. My opinion is he probably came in and said, I want the money and I'll sign right now. And Sweeney went, I'm not giving you any money right now. Let's see what happens. And we'll go from there. Or at least that's what I hope happens in that situation. I want to be wrong about Hall. I think I even told, you know, I told somebody, I think it was this morning on Twitter, like, receipt me. Take screenshots of everything I've written down in the last 48 hours. And when Hall scores 15 goals for the remainder of the season, you send me every one of those tweets. And you know what? I'll write a whole article about how wrong I was and I'll use your screenshots. But like for right now, let's hope the guy comes, fits, meshes, signs a shorter deal for reasonable money and sticks around a while.
Yeah, absolutely. My big thing, well, my worry, I guess, is if we want him for a short term, like how things have been going the last however many years in the league, a short term always means a bigger dollar number. If you want that smaller dollar number, it's got to be a longer term deal. And I don't think signing him for 7 or 8 years is a good idea. I think it's, you know, he's been shown to have flashes of brilliance in the past, followed by like whole seasons where he just is a passenger. And that's, so, I mean, that's the last thing that the Bruins need.
And that's exactly it for me, especially if 46 is a playmaker, isn't on your roster anymore. Is Coyle going to center him? Right? Like, so now you have to start thinking about a couple years out. And then there's a great question in the chat here. So Hall said something happened with the deal in Boston, and that's what led to Buffalo. What happened? What was the thing that happened? We'll never know.
You didn't want to give him $8 million.
Yeah, exactly. We'll never know what the thing was, but I can promise you it was that he asked for way too much money, and the Bruins went, this is what we're willing to give you for this term. Take it or leave it. And he went, I can make double in Buffalo.
I actually heard on the 31 Thoughts podcast with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick a while ago that Buffalo was the only team that offered him a deal. And this was during the off season. We didn't know when the next regular season was coming up. So a lot of different angles were coming at you with the whole COVID thing. And should we invest this money now? And what if it doesn't happen? You know, general managers were going crazy. So Buffalo, I heard from them on their podcast, was the pretty much only one that said, hey, we'll do it. But I could be wrong on that, too.
Yeah, no, I believe I heard the same interview, Mark, right? And I think even with what Hall said today, right, like it doesn't take away the fact that Boston potentially pulled out towards the end of it. For right? Sure. Like they could have been in on the conversation and something made them go, you know what, this isn't the right offseason to do this. And then when the trade came up, I mean, no matter what, you have to believe the fact that he says he wants to be here. Because he waived his non-movement clause, right? So, like, he wants to be here, which is great. Now, come here and do something, right?
Absolutely.
Like, prove your value and then get paid based on what you prove. I mean, it's the shortest audition for a contract extension you could possibly ask for in a shortened, condensed season when there's a flat cap. Like, this is it, buddy. You're gonna make whatever you make next because of whatever you do in this short span of games.
For sure. I got a question for you. I know you'd mentioned like if we move on from Krejci and will Hall be able to work with Coyle? Do you think they would experiment with that during this season, having Hall play with Coyle to see if it works?
I mean, if you're asking me, to be honest with you, Coyle's non-point producing games are a very scary thing for me when you're trying to feed a guy like Hall all the time. If you're not doing it on your third line with the complementary pieces on your left and right now, I wouldn't want to put him in between DeBrusque and Coyle. I mean, I'm sorry, Hall. I got to get used to that name now. So... Yeah, I don't know. Charlie's really kind of getting me all kind of ruffled up here with he can't get points. He does the right things when it comes to puck possession and so on, but it's just not enough for me. I want to get more shots on net. We need to see what we're seeing from Smith right now in Coyle.
Why are we moving Smith out of the role with Bergeron and Marchand to put Pastrnak back?
It's working, right?
Right. Leave Smith where he is right now. But clearly, something's going on with Pasta. He either needs to rest and heal whatever's going on, or he needs to go sign up for one of those weird, like, hockey voodoo rituals that these guys are into, and like figure out whatever demon it is he needs to get out. But like, the dude's tripping over his own feet. Like, that's not a great sign when it comes to your most gifted skater.
Well,
yeah, no, for sure.
I think it was Brett Howard who I had on the program yesterday, the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast, episode 223. And he mentioned that he's using new equipment now.
He's, yeah, I heard that today. Yeah.
He's sponsored by Bauer. So this might be just a very big adjustment period for him, and new skates and so on. So I'm not going to blame the blades because I know two gentlemen that actually make those. So I'm not going to put the blame on my friends, but no, it could be a difference of skate equipment. It'll do that to a player, man. Once you're working with a certain piece of equipment and you move to something else, you know, but big tickets happen to freaking, you know, pave their way to certain playing time.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I'm hopeful, right? Like, listen, the one thing I enjoy right now is Bruce Cassidy as a coach. I know that there's some heat out there on him right now. I actually think Bruce is a great coach. I think he has an ability to reach players in a way we haven't seen as a Boston organization in quite a while. And certainly, I think a lot of teams around the NHL would like to have a coach that relates to the players like that. I think that this team's going to be all right. I still don't think what they did today positions them to win the cup this year. And that's okay. As long as you turn what happened today into a little bit more, as long as you get Hall signed to another couple of years, or if you get something else out of this, then I'm perfectly fine with I'm already happy with what happened today. I think it turns it into an A-plus kind of day for Don Sweeney.
Yeah. Mike, what do you think about the lineup moving forward? Got anything for us?
Well, I think you have to get the perfection line back together. I think that's a no-brainer. They're one of the best in the league. That's why they're called the perfection line. Put Pasternak back up there, let them work through it, because they will do that, because they always do. And having that line like Hull, Krejci, Pasternak, with Smith staying up there, even though that's working right now, I think that is a terrible idea, because I don't see Hull, Krejci, Pasternak working in all three zones of the ice against other teams' second lines. I just don't see, I mean, they're, it's a star-studded line, but I don't see it, and I see it as a defensive liability.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, especially with Pasternak struggling and the question mark that is Taylor Hall. That just seems like a bit of a risk.
And yeah, I like the – sorry, go.
I would say the reason that I would be comfortable putting them back together, even though Smith is working really well with Bergeron and Marchand, is that even when they bumped Smith away from Bergeron and Marchand in the last game or a couple games ago, he was still buzzing. He still got the primary assist on DeBrusk's goal. So it looks like he's woken up, and that helped him big time. So I have more faith in him keeping that level of play moving down than I do Pasternak finding it with another new line mate as opposed to the two that he's familiar with.
Yeah, I think you have your Marchie and Bergeron and Pasternak. But Marchie and Bergie, for sure, there's your defensive. Pasternak, your big scorer. Not that the other two don't, because they do too. But then you got Hall, Krejci. You need to have Smith on the second line for your all three zone kind of coverage, just three players that work well together. And then you're going to be, I like DeBrusk and Coyle in the third line. Who plays right wing? I have no idea. And then your fourth line, getting into defenseman now with Riley. He's obviously going to fit in on the second pairing with Carlo, and I think they'll work well together. He's got a bit of offensive upside with his game. And then Grizz, McAvoy, and probably Lozon and Miller, Clifton in and out there. But I think this is all off season. Who do you protect in the expansion draft?
Yeah,
is the big question.
Anywhere we go with this conversation, the expansion draft's going to play a huge part in it.
It's looming large.
Like I'm your Bergeron, Marchand, Pasta, obviously. I think your Coyle, obviously. I think you're gonna now. say Hall stays there, you got to keep Hall. And then where's your last one go to? You got one more spot, and you have, say, in your top group, Richie, DeBrusk, Smith, Frederick, and you only have two. Oof. Yeah. They have to make a deal. They're going to have to make a deal with Seattle to not take somebody.
Yeah, I mean, my only thought is, you know, what is it that they're going to, or when is it that they're going to sign Hall if they sign Hall, right? Because you can delay that. You can have a whisper deal on the side until after the expansion draft if you have to. My bigger concern is that if you want to do anything here leading up to the expansion draft in terms of signing any of your players, right? You're right. You start to open up a possibility where you just don't have enough space to fit in all the people you want to keep. But then again, and this is going to sound a little crazy, and I'm just saying this out loud now, so I have not thought this through, but what if you expose somebody like Coyle? I mean, what's Coyle making?
Five.
Five?
You got another four or three more years to go? Oh, I have cat friendly right here.
Yeah, so like if we look at what Coyle's made, and listen, I'm not saying I want to lose Coyle. Like I have this bad feeling. You also
get him to waive his no movement clause to be able to expose him.
Does he has a no movement?
Yeah, so, okay. It's him and the top line are the four that have to be protected, unless one of them caves.
He's got both of them modified and a no move, and he's signed for this year, obviously, and next, and he is a UFA in 2026-27.
Well, all right, so that doesn't work, but I'm just saying that that's one of those contracts where I feel like Don Sweeney maybe shed a little Boston love onto that contract a little bit. But I'm a Coyle fan still. I think that he plays well. I'm not sure that I'm locked into him for such term and money, but is what it is if they've signed him that way.
Yeah.
If there was anybody that I'd give up right now if Seattle was calling, it'd be Sean Corrali for a forward. I like Sean. I like his speed, but I want Sean Corrali 2 seasons ago. The last 2 seasons, it just seems like he's been falling off the beaten path here. And and he was a big part of that fourth line identity for this Boston Bruins team with his speed and his tenacious forechecking. And I just don't see it anymore. It's just, maybe it's the COVID times and all this crap, but still, it's just, you still got to live up to your contract. You still got to play the game and everything like that. So we'll see what happens. And he's a UFA at the end of the season, only making 1.2. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I can't see them. I can't see them bringing him back. I think that bottom six is there's 9 players that'll fit in that right now. I don't see them bringing Corrali back the way that he's been playing this year and last year, to your point.
Well, and Sweeney's historically let guys that you would think, oh, well, maybe signed to a fourth line deal type thing, right? He's let them walk. So historically he's been, don't sleep on Lazar. I think that's a valid point, right? And we haven't really touched on him because obviously Hall is the big name out of that deal. But yeah. I agree with that. Don't sleep on Lazar. Like, I do think he was a legitimate piece. And honestly, it's part of the reason I think that deal today was such a steal, right? Or last night. Because, like, you got Hall and Lazar out of that deal. I still am not entirely sure what the hell they're doing in Buffalo. But I guess that's not for me to figure out.
Is there any word on when Lazar might be ready? Because the last I saw, he was still week to week.
April, I saw.
It sounded like he was potentially pretty close to coming back. From Sweeney's press conference this afternoon, he didn't think he'd be ready instantly, but he didn't think it was long-term either for him to be back.
I'd like to get Lazar in there for sure. Because I agree. I do think that... That's a good pickup for sure.
Did you see April? I've seen April for Lazar coming in.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
I've got a comment here. It says Lazar said he'd be available for Thursday.
See, that's what I heard too. I heard he was driving. He was he was driving over the border to come to Boston, much like Taylor Hall was driving too. No, Lazar is from Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who am I thinking about? Is it Riley?
Riley's coming from. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not sure about the COVID protocol over the border. What is it now 5 days, or is that going to Canada?
So Jaffe said,
okay,
it's going to Canada, and Jaffe said that the rules this morning, at least, he had a tweet out there that the rules are a little different in terms of how it's working if the player is willing to drive from Canada. So as long as they don't get on a plane from Canada, the rule is different. And if the player is willing to make the drive, that they'll be held to a different quarantine standard than if they fly.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Riley will be available Tuesday night, and that's coming from Mr. Connor Green.
Well, so that's what he said. That's what Lazar said, I believe, in his availability. Sweeney made it sound like it was going to be closer to Thursday because he didn't think he was fully ready to come back. Now, who the hell knows? Because if the player's saying I'm ready and the GM's saying he's not quite ready, that's not off to a great start in terms of the whole communication thing. But again, I'm not an NHL GM, so there's probably a reason for that.
I'd like to see that DeBrusk, Coyle, Lazar, third line, right out of the gates.
I'd like to see DeBrusk have turned into a third defense, a three or four defenseman, but that's okay.
Yeah, I was on that boat too.
I think DeBrusk, DeBrusk, Coyle, and Lazar for a third line would be a classic pain in the ass checking line to play against. They would suck to go against.
Mike, that's a really good thought because you have a puck possession master in Charlie Coyle right up the middle.
Yeah.
You have your speed. You have your speed with DeBrusk on the left side. And I'm not privy on Lazar or anything like that, but I heard he's a rugged forward.
Gritty.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean there's a nice mixed bag right there of potential, absolutely. I think we saw that not too long ago with when Bjork was playing with Coyle and somebody else was on the right side. I can't remember who it was. So it was Smith, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I liked that line.
Yeah, that wasn't good. Bad.
And then you get into the, as we've talked before, Mark, with Frederick. Like, I think him getting less minutes and down in the lineup, I think, like, it's kind of similar to DeBrusk. Less minutes down in the lineup. Confidence not quite there. Like, he needs to be getting the reps. He needs the minutes. Is it good to get him play time in the NHL? Yes. On the fourth line, though, is that the best fit for him? I don't think so. I think he needs to be up on a third line, but is there space for him if he doesn't play on an off wing? No. But I do see him filling. I don't see Kirilly coming back, and then there you go. Frederick slots in as a fourth line center, but can he develop the best there? I don't think so. Like, long-term wise, that's not a good fit for him.
Yeah. I think Freddie's potential is much higher than the fourth line. But he's doing the complementary things that got him to the NHL right now down at the AHL. He was proven that he can stand up, he can be that type of protector and so on, but you know, that's, and he shifted over to the left side, so which made his NHL emergence, especially this year, that much easier for the Boston Bruins to move up because we're so deep at the middle's position. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly have plans for him, right? Because it sounds like teams were calling to see if he was available, and the Bruins said no. So clearly they feel like he's going to slot in somewhere in the future of this franchise. And so I think that's a good sign for him. But to your point, right, like, is he a fourth-line center? I feel like he's a better fit for a third-line center, but then you've got to figure out what you're doing with your other players and pieces at that point.
Krejci goes home to finish out his playing career, and Coyle moves to line two. Frederick up to line three.
And, I, It's not the first time I've heard that, Mike.
Yeah, no.
Especially if I think a big draw to keep some guys there would be getting Hall signed.
Yep.
I think that would draw Krejci to stay. But if they don't get Hall signed, they take a step back into, like, what are we, a go for it team? Are we they're a step closer to retooling if they don't keep Hall. And I could easily see Krejci, just with all the circumstances in the world this season, I could easily see him just going home to wrap up a year or two before he packs it in. Like, that's not out of the question.
Tax so I actually NHL.
Yeah.
I thought that's what Krejci would want to do. I actually think bringing in Hall, though, jeopardizes him wanting to do that. I think if he jives with Hall and those guys get it going, I think he potentially wants to stay another year at a discounted rate. I don't know, though. I'm kind of ready to move on. And I know that's a hard statement to make, being a Bruins fan and how long he's been here and how important he's been and playoff Krejci. But, like, I'm getting to the point where I'm kind of ready to move on. And I don't know that I think Coyle's the answer, though, I guess, just to finish that.
Without Hall, I was trade Krejci by the deadline. Move him. And I do, just to take the other side of your point, if Krejci's out of the picture, I see Coyle as a perfect fit as a second line center. Is he playing up to his potential right now? No, but is he exactly what you want in, like, your prototypical second line center? Oh, yeah. He's a big body. He's hard to play against. He's strong on the puck. And he is a puck protector. You put a playmaker with him and somebody that can put the puck in the net and let him play the middle of the ice and do what he does, regardless of his stats, he's perfect in that
spot.
Who
do you put on the right then? Right? Because you have Hall on the left. You have Coyle up the middle.
Yeah.
You need – I guess if you're going to do that, you need somebody on the right with speed still.
Hall, Coyle, and Smith. You've got speed, you've got scoring, you've got hard on the puck, you've got aggressive forecheck, good in all three zones. Like, I think, I don't know, if they move, if Krejci did move or didn't come back and they get Hall signed in there, Hall, Coyle, Smith, very, very solid second line, can play with anybody in the league. I have no problem with that line as a second line at all, with keeping Marshy, Bergy, Pasta, and then bringing in some of the young guns. And you got Frederick moving into that line three. Maybe you're moving Studnicka up into a wing spot on the third line, even. Like, start getting. I don't think those guys are fourth line players. I think you got to move Frederick and Studnicka when they come in. They got to be getting at least third line minutes. You can't dump them on the fourth line. That'll crush them.
Real quick, I want to answer Lance Scavetta's question. What about Beecher? Just finished his sophomore year at Michigan. I'm not even putting him into the mix in the next 2 years. We'll probably look at that, revisit that when, you know, it comes up. But he's still in the NCAA right now, and it remains to be seen if he's going to be signed to a pro contract. So
I don't see him next year, but maybe the year after.
Lauko, I'm a big fan of Lauko. I watch him all the time. I cover the Providence Bruins as a media member. I still think he needs a little more time. So the NHL roster is going to dictate where these kids are playing. And if you're not one of the better players, you're not going to get in the lineup. And I still think that Jakob has the speed, has the skill, but he's got to work on his two-way style of game. And what I've noticed in the past couple of years, especially when he was playing up in the queue with the Rouyn-Noranda, I can never say that, Rouyn-Noranda Huskies, his speed was so fast that he had trouble keeping possession of the puck. So there's small things that he's got to work on. I mean, he's threshold NHLer right now, and I believe he's going to be there sooner or later. But these are all guys that are way down the depth right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm looking at the like if big change is ushered in and the inevitable happens, when it happens, I don't know, but the inevitable is like Krejci moving on, some of these guys moving on. That's just the game, whether we like it or not. But one thing that I've really thought that could happen sooner than later, like Lauko, I see as he's been playing solid. Does he need more reps to get to like an NHL game? Of course. But I've in the back of my head is when needed to fill these spots with cheaper deals to maybe make runs at some free agents that can like really tilt the scale, more specifically on the blue line. I wish and I hope that Lauko can keep developing, and I would really, really like to see in time a third line of Lauko, Frederick, Studnicka on the right wing. As a third line, getting decent minutes and kind of protected from other teams' top guns. That's like in a perfect world, I would love to see those three together eventually.
Go ahead, Rafa. You want to say something?
I'm not super familiar with the Providence Bruins and everything down there. I just hearing that thing in Lauko, like is he that close that he'll be looking to get into the NHL in the next year or two? Because if it's going to be longer than that, then I don't think it'll be on a third line role, right? If he's as highly touted as I'm hearing, like by that point, our aging core will be on the way out, like more than just Krejci, right? So
yeah,
he's got two more years under his current entry level deal, and it's $764,000. So that's $700,000 at the NHL level and $70,000 at the AHL.
Okay,
that's a best case scenario.
Yeah, fair for sure.
Like you need to be able to see. Now to win, you need those entry level deals having an impact at the NHL. And I could see Lauko doing that next year, though. I don't think so, but the year after, very well likely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Departures are going to dictate what's going to happen with these younger kids. Like, like after this season, who knows what happens to Corrali. If they move away from Corrali, now it's a plug-and-play type of freaking game here. You could easily put Oscar Steen in Sean Corrali's role. Steen can play the wing, and he could play center. So he's much of a little mixed bag right there.
Like this offseason is like one of the most...
intriguing.
Yeah, like in years, in a long time that I can remember watching the Bruins, like there's... like you got these veterans that have been there forever that are could very well just walk away easily if that's what they want to do, like choose your own destiny, go home, maybe. Like that's not out of the question. There's no guarantee in them staying. It would be nice if they stayed, but then at the same time, with that hard cap, like how much of a deal do they take? And then if they leave, that frees you up. The Krejci example. There's another $7 million. Like you could be pushing like $40 million plus if some of these guys just walk away to chase free agents, which if they need it anywhere, they need it on the blue line badly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the trade I feel like we haven't touched on much today. Right. So the Riley trade, right. I mean, you did something, but I feel like how many defensemen have they used this year? 11, 12? Are we even past that at this point?
Yeah.
I really, really was hoping that you were going to bring somebody top four in. Again, they got a great deal on Hall. I think Riley's going to be a decent defenseman for them. Maybe replaces a little bit of that Krug factor you thought you were going to get out of Grizzlick, right? I just don't know that they did enough in maybe their weakest area. And I get it. So we're about to get a comment. I can tell you right now, some comment about how their defense when it's healthy is top three. And if you look at their stats and you don't know how to read and whatever comments about to come, I hear all of those things. But at the end of the day, this is also an eye test here. Just look at them play. There is a team, if you play them 5-7 games, right, they're going to expose you, right? So, like, we needed something a little bit more there if we wanted to be cup contenders this year. And that's the one piece of, you know, I think on Twitter earlier, I gave Don Sweeney an A-. And I had a couple of different people tell me, well, what more could have he done? Well, he could have used that long-term injury reserve or DeBrusque or some other piece to make a little bit space to bring in that one more kind of difference maker. And I probably would have been fighting Mark about them being cup contenders this year. But instead, I'm kind of just like, hey, this is going to be fun. Like, this is the most fun I've had on trade deadline day in a long time.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you came.
So that's great. But, like, I don't think it made the difference that we're going to be driving the duck boats anytime soon.
Yes.
Were they third? I think they're third in goals against. Or very recently they were in the league.
Yeah.
With a very, like, not a big name defense, but I think McAvoy is an absolute rock star. I'm obsessed with him. I've wanted to see Grizz and McAvoy paired together since they both got brought into the organization, both coming from BU. Like, that's years in the making. I've wanted to see that. So I'm
my
very
friend Heather would love
happening.
You.
And then Heather would love you.
Yeah.
And Carlo, I love Carlo. He's incredible. I saw him play a lot in junior, like for 2 or 3 years, saw him in a lot of junior games. Bringing in Riley, like, I'm not sure. I think he kind of fits in where he is. But
Riley,
he's not,
though,
like,
I think, is a sneaky good pickup. I really do.
Yeah, and I think playing him anywhere other than with Carlo makes him not as valuable. I think he has to be with Carlo. Him and Carlo could be incredible.
Yep.
But I think I don't know, the third line for defense, like, you're going to have to play, you're going to have Lozon and Miller and Clifton. Like, it's like the bottom grouping of the forward group. Just mix and match, throw in whoever.
I don't even want to get into the whole Miller thing because I'm not looking to get thrown off of the internet tonight. So
no,
somebody
I
save me.
I definitely agree that I wanted something more substantial on defense. I had a trade that I was thinking of. I don't know if it even ever could have worked, but I would have loved for the Bruins to go after Giordano in Calgary. I think he's would have fit a similar role to what they had wanted Chara to fill that he didn't want to. Like, he could have been taking less minutes, been a 4-5 experienced guy. I mean, he's playing not his best hockey, but he's still definitely very effective in Calgary until their season kind of went downhill and they had to play him 24 minutes a night. But when he can play lower minutes, like, he puts up points and he's a strong defender and he's big. And he's, if they would be willing to hold, retain 50% of the salary, it would have been around 3 million. I think he's making around 6, and they have him for one more year after this year. I think that would have been, that's the move that I really wanted to see. And that's the move where I could have seen DeBrusque going the other way. So I know he's got family in Alberta, and that would have been big for, I think it would have helped him a lot. I think he would produce really well in a new environment. I don't know. He's struggling and I don't see him coming out of it anytime soon. But that's just me.
Actually in the chat, Connor Green says, been talking to some folks in Calgary. They are under the impression Geo moves during the off season. So
you
might be
house.
Able to, yeah.
Throw the house at Rasmus Dahlin.
Oh, jeez. we already fleeced Buffalo. Come on, man. We took their, like, best player and he had 2 goals.
That was my dream scenario, included Hall and Dahlin, and honestly, throwing the house at Buffalo to do so.
Jeez. I'm just, I'm, got, I'm,
Good. And you got two, and you got 2 years, like literally, very realistically, 2 years to run it, two more cups. Jeez. And then it's dismantled.
Mike's all for like the big thinking boom.
Yeah.
I love
it. Yeah, that would have been entertaining as hell. That's for sure.
A safe, realistic thinking, and then like totally what is happening, run and gun for everything for the short window that's there.
Are you related to the Bagulas?
I was thinking,
seems like what they want to do.
Not that I think that would ever happen, but right. If you're thinking like on both sides, safe, realistic, and then something just like wild and out there. I mean, crazier things have happened. Wayne Gretzky got traded, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. I remember that, too. I'm showing
that's
my
just
age.
My little, that's just my little quip of, like, Darlene and McAvoy for the next 15 years. That would be heaven and amazing.
Speaking of defense and adding a little goaltending talk, Charlie McAvoy is, I guess, slated to return tomorrow night or Thursday. And Rask is also could be Thursday, too. So
do not rush Rask back, please.
Yeah, I know. One thing I do want to talk about the defense is maybe the Boston Bruins didn't go out and address the defensive need right now because of the fact is that so many are on injured reserve or, you know, Carlo and so on. And if you bring on another defenseman, then you have to expose another defenseman. The Seattle draft keeps coming back. And every time I want to talk about something, I mm-hmm. say something, and I'm like, damn it, Seattle. I can't wait till this is over because I'm confused. I was confused in Vegas draft, and I'm confused in this one. And I just hope we stay at 32. So I don't have any more confusion.
Do you think they could let's just say Krejci comes back for 2 years, 1 year. Do you think they can get Krejci for five or less?
They have to. Yeah. They better.
No, would he though? Would he do that?
Yeah, I know.
If not, goodbye.
And then do they get who else is up? Carlo?
I'm going to look at cap friendly right now.
Is Carlo this year or next?
Like basically your top mix of players, can they sign those anybody who's up? Mark, go down the list and just think like.
All right. So Krejci, UFA.
Walk.
Taylor Hall, UFA.
And him, yeah. Can they sign these guys for less than $5 million?
Yeah. Nick Ritchie's the RFA with arbitration rights. Sean Corrales, the UFA. Anton Bleed. I just can't say goodbye to Anton Bleed. I'm not even going to. Kevin Miller. I would walk from Kevin Miller, 33 years old.
Yeah.
Like you should have last offseason, just to be clear.
I know. Stephen Kampfer and Jared Tenorti. I don't think those guys would be around. But when you look at, you got Tuukka Rask. You got Brandon Carlo. You got Kasha. I don't think they should bring him back anyway. But no. there's still a lot you still have to work with. In the off season, but still, you still have enough funds that you can go and attack certain things.
Yeah, leaving like I'm thinking, it would be nice to get those key guys, and kind of have their main spots filled for less than 20. So can they get Krejci for no more than five? Can they get Hall for no more than five? Can they get Carlo for no more than five? Like they're not going to sign any, nobody's going to be making more than Bergeron and Marchand. I don't see, like, they're not going to sign Hall for a length of term for more than they're making now. It's just not going to happen. So will he, these guys got to take cuts to stay with a contending team basically. And will they all do that? I hope so.
I've got this math down. Here we go. I'm going to do it for under 20. You give Rask 4.5, Carlo 5, Hall 5, and Krejci 3.5 if he wants to stay or he can walk the hell out the door.
What's McAvoy getting now?
He's going to be on a let me just get rid of this now. We're all done talking about basically Taylor Hall. I can move on from that. Krejci, I'm sorry, what were you asking?
McAvoy.
McAvoy. I know somebody will hit it up in the chat.
Yeah, I just don't have it in front of me.
I got too many windows open. Jesus. And my computer's slowing down.
Well, it's a crazy off season, is what it is. It's absolutely.
It is a crazy off season. Yeah.
There's murmurings of Rask. Like, is he gonna be done? Is him and Krejci gonna be done? Because they might be in trouble if those two guys are done.
Yeah. Hopefully, they can get Rask for another year or two. That would be ideal, I think.
Yeah.
McAvoy, he's got one more full season, and then he's got RFA and he's arbitration.
And what's his what does his qualifying have to be? Because didn't they structure his deal so that he's making most of his money in the last year? So they have to qualify him.
Yeah, so he's at 4.9 right now.
Okay.
So
yeah, so his cap hit is split evenly, right? 4.9 across 3 years of the but his total salary is 7.3 million in his last year. Whereas he's making 3.7 right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Connor Green says yes, his qualifying offer would be about 6 million.
So you give Carlo a million less.
Yeah.
Bring him in at 5. Give Hall 5 at 2 or 3 years.
Well, Carlo's injuries and are going to play a big part in getting a raise.
They should, honestly.
If he's making 2.5 now, give him 3.5 next season or an extension.
He can't stay healthy. So let's get rid of the regular season right now. He hasn't been able to stay healthy in the playoffs.
One year.
But still, he can't stay healthy, right? Like it's a track record now of he had the postseason issue. And now he's had the regular season issue. Maybe he's great in the postseason this year. Who knows? Assuming we make it. I think we make it.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to.
We better.
Trying to get a few people angry while I'm at it. And then 3.5 for Krejci. Don't pay him more than 3.5. And Mark can attest to this. I have been saying that for months. This has nothing to do with today. Yeah, I do not want to overpay Krejci.
I agree with that 100%. I think you need to. You need to give him a pay cut like that or else move on from him because you can't afford it. There's too many guys that are going to be looking for raises, and he shouldn't be one of them.
Yeah. You also got to think about the upcoming prospect core that's, can be plugged in at a lower cap number, like Connor was saying a while ago in the chat. It's good to have these entry level deals because if you're spending to the ceiling like the Boston Bruins do, and I cannot stand when people freaking talk about the Jacobs and their cheap.
Yeah, but Jacobs is cheap.
They were back then in a non-salary cap world back in the day. They were absolutely cheap scumbags, this and that. They did nothing for Ray Bourque. But in a salary cap world, they spend right up to the ceiling within a million or two of it. So that narrative is just mind boggling.
And they go over it with the bonuses.
Yeah.
So
it's just, I don't know. It's maddening sometimes when you talk to certain folk out there that always want to blame ownership and so on when you should be talking to the management and see how they did. Last minute discussion. You got to go, Bruins? I mean, Mike?
Yeah, I got to go feed the kids here.
All right, man. Well, if you want to bounce out, thank you so much for stopping by. I truly appreciate it.
I want to stay, though, but I can't.
Well, it's up to you. I mean, hey, I'm not the one that's probably going to get, in trouble for not feeding the kids. We'll definitely do this again sometime. I plan on doing these more to create some more content for the podcast during the midweek show. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll get together.
I'll hop in these more for sure. I love this stuff. It's awesome.
Awesome. I appreciate it, man. You have a good one. Yeah. And please, I hope the kids and family and everybody's safe up there. And we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, have a good one, man.
Looking forward to doing it again.
Absolutely. Have a good one. Later. All right. That was Mike Dalby. Great guy. He provides so much stuff in the chat when we do these live streams, and he just, you know, he's a good knowledgeable person that I look forward to having back on sooner or later.
My contributions to the live stream are usually just sarcasm, so I like to do it live too.
But hey, you know, that's welcome too. You know, that's content. But yeah, we've been over an hour now, so I'm probably gonna call it a day. But I don't think there's anything else to really get touched on right now. I mean, when it comes to topics, unless wait a minute, Connor says something. Mark, you mentioned the LTIR space for this season. I think it should be talked about. I'm actually really concerned why injured reserve. Why Mr. Moore is not on any of that?
He's going to play 38 games in the last 12 days and actually get taken by Seattle still, so don't worry about it.
But yeah, but I don't understand why his money's not on LTIR and we can't save that.
John Moore. I don't understand that either. There was room. Because
they didn't make a move that required it, right? Like I'm sure they would have had they been able to pull the trigger on another deal, like if it was necessary. But
this is what drives me nuts. I spent 50% of my day today arguing with people on Twitter, and I'm not kidding when I say 50%. 50% of my day today trying to explain that there was, I don't know who it was, maybe it was Cap Friendly, but somebody was like, oh, the Bruins only have like $36,000 in cap space left. And I was like, for the love of everything in the world, please understand that there is more money to work with.
Yeah.
This is not reality.
Yeah.
And no, it was like, well, you just don't like, it was mind boggling. Like the amount of argument I had on this today, it's because they didn't need it, but they really could have used to need it. Because if they had done that one more piece, I really think they were contenders.
I'm right there with you on that. I absolutely agree. I
was driving the duck boat right by Mark's house. I was going out to acquire a duck boat on trade deadline day and just to drive it by Mark's house.
Hopefully that tab's not on BNG, man, because I'm not paying the bill.
No comment at this time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the current cap space on Cap Friendly for the Boston Bruins is $127,000. And that is right up against it.
And okay, but what's Moore's contract worth if you would put him on
2.7?
2.7. Yep. So you had,
and he's still good for two more seasons. Yeah.
And then you would have had Kasha that you could have done that with as well.
Yeah, he's clearly done for the year.
Yeah.
And what's he worth?
He's worth 2.6? Just over two, I think.
2.6.
Yeah, okay. 2.5.
So you had almost $5 million to play with if you had wanted to.
Right.
To bring in that third or fourth defenseman that could have made the difference for you this year. So that's why I didn't give Sweeney the A+. I gave him the A-.
No, I agree with that for sure. I'd give him, you know, an A+ on the moves that he did make, but overall, I don't think he can get an A+ because of the moves that he didn't make.
Mike Dalby's back in the house.
He's in the chat.
Yeah, he's make a deal with Seattle and things happen with Vegas. Pay a first round pick to take more. Oh, don't do that. Oh, I hate that idea.
This is another Backus situation. Yeah, exactly. I just don't want
to do that. Because it was like, okay, we need to get the cap space, the AAV, the $6 million off of David Backus. But you also gotta give a first round pick to make, you know, Anaheim bite on that. And but I don't know. I actually want to research now on how that pick actually turned out.
Like a trade tree situation?
Kind of, just to see where you know, if who was picked at that, and then where are they now, and then look at their stats and see if they're even in the NHL right now. So if they're not, it's pretty much non-relevant.
With that 5.2, you can use that for performance bonuses. That's true. You can use that for performance bonuses, and I'd imagine as they approach the end of the season, they'll consider some of those things to keep themselves out of any sort of penalty this year. I think they're in pretty good shape, though.
Yeah.
Honestly, not to pay a penalty this year. Next year is going to be the most free they've been in terms of cap space in a long time.
Oh, absolutely. Like, since the cap came in, pretty much.
Right. Like, this is going to be a year now, and I don't mean to be negative, because I know I've been accused of being negative once or twice.
No,
not my thing. But is Don Sweeney going to do anything with it? Right. I mean, I know there's a lot of excitement around Hall, but like, and Mark, I think you saw this tweet earlier, right? Somebody was like, well, this is brand new for the this isn't brand new. This is classic Bruins. Buy low and hope you hit that jackpot. The only difference is this time they didn't overpay for it. So like, congratulations. You didn't give away your first to, you know, buy low and hope to hit. So this isn't different, though. Like, this is classic Don Sweeney.
To me, to be honest with you, and it's going to be a terrible comparison, and I hope folks in the chat don't kill me for it, but this is like trading. And I don't remember his freaking name now. Shit. Oh, Christopher Stieg for Brandon Bochensky. It's all about potential. It's all about potential.
Mark, I kind of hope somebody gets you in the chat.
Yeah. Thank you, asshole. But all we're doing right now is we're trading for somebody to see how he's doing. We know about his past, but we're just thinking about what he can do. Let's get it together. Let's hope he's in the lineup tomorrow and lights up his former team, Buffalo. If he gets a hat trick tomorrow, that'd be awesome, because he'd have more goals in one game than he ever did with Buffalo.
Done. I'll take it. I'll put 3 units on it tomorrow night, Mark.
What are the odds you're going to get on that one?
Yeah.
I bet you they're
a good prop bet.
Let's just hope our book has the... I can't stand that.
It is bad.
They should have
really
the whole lineup, man.
I know. And other books do have the whole lineup. See, this is why I can't wait to record the podcast tomorrow, because I am just like ready to go.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, we're recording tomorrow night.
Nice.
I am officially back, as long as after I stand up, it goes well after this. we're officially back. Tomorrow night we're recording. We'll release Wednesday morning, and we're back to every week from here on out. So
yeah, buddy. So happy.
I'll do 3 units on Hall getting the hat trick as long as our book gives us the option.
Jesus, if you need help on that, I'll send you a Venmo.
Just send the money to National Grid when they come looking for it.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. Please, I have to give my call out now. Please only bet what you can afford to lose.
NZ Inc. 107 got my Bochensky freaking thing. He's just like, Bochensky! That's funny. That was awesome.
I also had
Brandon. That's funny.
Well, now we're just doing a charity here for when I throw all this money out the window.
All right. I think that's going to do it. I think we got a solid hour and almost 20 minutes going on. So I want to thank Mike Dalby, who was in the house. I want to thank Rafi. He's calling from Calgary. Thank you so much for your time, sir. If you're interested again, we'll do this. We'll do this more often. And
yeah, definitely keep me posted. If I can make it, I would love to.
Awesome. I love it. And Mr. Andrew Taverna, good to have you back at B&G again. Rocking and rolling. Got the Puck Lines podcast going on tomorrow. I look for that to come out on Wednesday. Give him a follow at Andrew Taverna and at Puck Lines Pod. Great show if you want to learn a little bit about hockey, but you also want to learn about safe betting. Those guys never put me through the ringer. Like, I'll send them a text message and be like, hey, should I take a chance on this? He's like, don't touch that. It's like, I wouldn't let you touch that even if I gave you the money. Okay, that's a no bet for me then. But anyway, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. Everybody in the chat, we really, with these kind of roundtable kind of things, we don't get a lot to get into, see who's around, but everybody that's been in here, I truly appreciate it. And Tim Richardson's in the house. He is a fantastic writer at the blackandgoldhockey.com website covering the Providence Bruins. So thank you, Tim, for stopping by. I truly appreciate it. Everybody, the panel, you guys are awesome. I'm going to edit this and try to get it out as soon as possible, but we will do this one more time again. If you guys want to get involved, send me a direct message and I'll send you an invite next time. So get everybody, you know, get everybody together. We're one big happy Bruins family. We try to create a community where we can all and have a safe conversation about our favorite team and our favorite sport, because this is the best sport in the world. But anyway, I'm Mark Allred, host of the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast, and I'm signing off. Thank you very much, Rafi. Thank you very much, Andrew. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks again for listening to and supporting the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please share the show with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe to and leave a 5-star rating for the show on your favorite podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Between shows, help us keep the Bruins talk going by visiting our website, blackandgoldhockey.com, by sending an email to blackandgoldhockeyblog@gmail.com, and by following the show on Twitter @blackandgoldpod.
Peace out.